This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm Renette Meiberg, and my program's called Rise, and we have a very special guest in the studio this afternoon, and you know, he has got some amazing nuggets of wisdom for a young man like him, and our topic this afternoon is the proven formula of extraordinary success. And he has written amazing books with a high price to pay, but he's got so much wisdom. And I'm so thrilled to have him here this afternoon with us. And he is Pastor Elroy R. Cook. And welcome. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, Elroy.
And it's so great to be back at Cape Pulpit Radio Station. The last time I was here, we had such an amazing time with Philip. So I'm excited for this interview this afternoon.
Absolutely wonderful. And you've got such a beautiful testimony. It is so encouraging. And I mean, you were raised by a single mom. And even though you were involved with violence and gangsterism, but you found Jesus, thank goodness for that, in high school. And then you joined the Navy. And I really am so impressed that you decided to go and author 3 books. So, but you're also an ordained pastor and you're busy doing your honors.
That's correct.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So we're absolutely thrilled to have you this afternoon. And as you know, this is a program where we give you wisdom and knowledge and guidance. And often we speak about unrelated issues that nobody else talks about. And, you know, at the end of the day, we do this in truth and in love. And so no matter where our guests have been and but is where they're going to, that is so amazing. So, but we're going to take a music break now, and then you can join us straight after the break. And we're going to listen to Jackie Velasquez, On My Knees. Thank you so much for staying with us this afternoon. And we have a very special guest in the studio. I'm so thrilled to have him in with us in the studio this afternoon. He is Pastor Elroy R. Cook, and he's written incredible books. And our topic this afternoon is the proven formula of extraordinary success. And you shared with us the other day about the components of vision, and that is so vital for us to be able to know the process and not just expect the greatness from the beginning, but there's things that need to take place. But I first want to share your testimony, if you can.
Yes.
Because
yes,
I think it's very vital, because this is so encouraging for those that think you've got nothing in you when you've got this amazing greatness in you. So I'm very thrilled to share your testimony.
Thank you so much again, Renette, for having me. I'm so excited just to be with the listeners this afternoon. Well, my journey started out few years ago. I found myself living in the back room of my grandmother's yard. The place we occupied was scarcely big enough to house the single car it was built for. Basically a garage at the back of my grandmother's yard. My mom fell pregnant with the first kid at the age of 16. She dropped out of primary school and she was forced to go work. A few years later, she fell pregnant again with my other eldest daughter, eldest sister. Then she had me and my twin brother. So now my mom was raising 4 kids on a single factory work salary. Now, I don't know about you. I have 1 child and it's so expensive now.
No.
I can only imagine how my mom at night used to wonder how she's going to provide for 4 kids.
Absolutely.
On her own. There were times when she lost her work where, you know, we had to scurry about and wonder where our next meal would come from. Me and my brother would often go up the road by our neighbors and ask bread, and they would give us bread and jam. And we also started at one neighbor, Auntie Sally and Auntie Rudolph, an elderly Cape Malay couple that started to have a fond liking in me and my brother. And when we used to go ask bread, they would never reject us.
Oh, precious.
Eventually, we asked for work, and they would allow us to wash the cars, clean the yards, and eventually formed a bond with them. And I can say he was my first father figure, because he taught me how to play chess. He taught me how to play dominoes. And when he would go on fishing trips, he would take me and my brother with him. There was a lot of things I desired while I was growing up in the small back room of my grandmother's yard. Every morning, me and my brother would wake up and roll the mattress we were sleeping on and do our bucket washes. Our house, our back room was divided in two parts. The one part separated in the middle by the cupboards. The one part was our bedroom, and the other half was our kitchen and our living room. Certain nights, when it would rain, we would put buckets out because it was leaking through the roof to catch the water that was leaking through the roof. And winter nights were often cold with a steel garage door.
I can't imagine.
But my mom's winter soup provided a heavenly warmth that you could not explain.
With so much love as well, eh?
Absolutely. My mom was a very God-fearing and resilient mom. And strict disciplinarian, and she would often insist me and my brother go to our local Methodist church, even at times when we would come from clubbing. There were many things I desired as a young boy growing up in my local community to consist. I desired that I didn't have to worry where there would be money sufficient for us to go and participate in sports. I used to desire to have a father to correct me, to counsel me, to say that he's proud of me.
Amen.
I desired that going to school, thinking about whether I have lunch was not a concern, or I didn't have to go and stand in the feeding line. I desired a lot of things. I desired to be of means, to not have to worry about a lot of the things that we worried about. And because of...
And those are things we, as most people, take for granted.
Absolutely. And because of that, me and my brother started acting up. We started getting involved in a lot of fights. And it became so bad that in our community, they started to label me and my brother horrible and terrible. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been labeled and concluded, then you can relate to us.
I love that word, concluded.
And when we entered high school, the stigma that loomed followed us like a signpost.
Sure.
And have you ever noticed that whenever not just you, but others place an expectation on you not to make it, you often are burdened down by the weight of those expectations? I started to believe those expectations, and we started to become the bad boys. We joined a gang called VGV's Kreelgat Varka.
Yeah.
And when we joined the gang called VGVs, we got involved in a lot of fights. I remember one incident, me and my brother had an argument, and he stabbed me in the back with an okapi. And I was rushed to the hospital, and I was hospitalized for the whole week. And on another occasion, I had another gang incident where I was stabbed on my face with a bottle.
Wow.
And I remember being stitched up and still felt like the broken boy I was inside.
Sure.
And one day, a lot of people concluded that we'd either be in prison or in debt. And one day, there was a school outreach at our school where a group came to our school called the For Change Foundation. And they led by a man called pastor of the organization, the visionary, Dr. Maxwell Holland. And he preached the story about the prodigal of the lost son. And I could relate so much. And me and my brother, we both failed a grade in high school. But when we looked again, me and my brother found ourselves crying at the altar, accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
And before that moment, remember, I failed a grade in high school. Now, I always question, why did I fail? Because I felt humiliated. You know, I disappointed myself, but I also disappointed my mom because she had such high expectations on us. And I remembered we might not have had everything, but I remember that if we wanted to make something of ourselves, education was one of the things that will enable us to do that. So we persevered. But you know, if me and my brother never failed a grade and we matriculated as normal, because the For Change Foundation came the year when we were in high school the first time, and if we never failed a grade, we might have missed them. And I realized that sometimes God will often hold you back from entering certain seasons of your life. Not because he's forgotten about you, but possibly because he's still busy forming you. And during those moments when it seems like others are ahead of you, others are receiving breakthroughs but you, maybe just like us, it's because God is still preparing you before he's about to launch you. An arrow must be pulled back first before it is launched. And the more it is pulled back, the further it is launched. And sometimes you experience the pullback of life, pullback by your circumstances, pullback by failures. But might it be just like me, that you're still in the pulling phase of life, just like I was, and you're about to come back strong and be launched back, launched into your destiny. So I accepted the Lord, but after school, because we passed so poorly, Renette, I didn't have slim prospects. I couldn't get the study bursary because my marks were poor. And I also couldn't go and study because my mom didn't have funds for us to study. Because most of the time she either had a factory job or and when she was retrenched, there was many times she was struggling to find a work because she didn't even complete primary school. So after high school, I didn't know what to do with my life. I had no plan at all. But one thing I did know, that I might not have had a plan for my life, but Jesus was my sure plan.
Amen.
And after high school, when we matriculated that first year, it was difficult. So there came an opportunity that was presented for us to do end-user computing, and we took it because there was not much prospects. And I remember my friends around us were speaking so excitedly about what universities they were going to, and the futures were so well planned out. And I just felt so
left behind.
That, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't have direction. And I started serving in my local church just faithfully. And that opportunity came for us to do end user computing. Then one person came to me in our community, Harlot, and he told me, why don't you join the Navy? Now, I've never heard about the Navy. I knew there was a military, but I never really knew about the Navy, nor did I ever have an interest to join the military or the Navy. But I thought to myself, well, I have nothing to lose. Might as well give it a shot. But the first time I applied, he helped me apply for the South African Navy. The first time I applied, I didn't make it past all of the phases. And I was so discouraged. But thankfully, he encouraged me to keep on trying.
Amen.
And when the opportunity presented itself again, he helped me to apply again for the South African Navy. And this time, I made it through all of the phases and was finally accepted to join the South African Navy. It was an answered prayer to my mom, and it was a sign to me that God's plan was surely being fulfilled in my life.
But isn't it when you said you needed some discipline and all that, it was like as though the Lord put you into that position where you're going to get all those heart's desires that you had to get that structure back into your life.
Yes,
it is so encouraging how God actually heard your desires then already as a young boy. So continue.
So absolutely, just like that, Renette, it's almost like, you know, just imagine a year before that I get born again. Now I start serving faithfully in my local church just as an usher, and I never even desired to be a pastor. But while I was busy, and you know, the church we attended back home in Johannesburg was not in our community. But thankfully, when we became born again, now we had a desire to want to attend this church. And the people that were attending church were living across the road from us. So they were our lift.
And he just orchestrated everything.
I just saw how God just divinely orchestrated things for me so that we are where he intended me to be. So when I joined the Navy and I came to Cape Town, in our first week of our military training in Saldanha, there was no church service. And then I just hear the voice of the Lord saying to me, why don't you have a church service? And you must know, at the time, I had never preached a sermon. No great oratory skill. I was inadequate. I felt so insufficient. But you know what? I just said yes.
Stepped out.
I just took the step of faith. And know sometimes we are waiting to meet the requirements before we do something for him.
Mm.
Let me say that again. You see, sometimes we are waiting till we meet the requirements, till we do something for Him. But I want to say to you, every person that God used powerfully in the Bible was once disqualified.
Amen.
Come and say that again.
Yes.
Every person, I feel now preaching anointing coming home. Every person that God once used powerfully was once disqualified in their life. Yes. And at the time, I didn't have the requirement, but I just felt the Holy Spirit boldness rising up inside of me. And I called together my sailors that was with me in training in the dormitory of our Mendi, in our Mendi dormitory on our Saldanha base. And I said to them, since there's no church service, let's have a church service. And I read to them out of my notes of my pastor's sermon, and I started preaching to them. And that was my first congregation during my training. Wonderful. And you know what's crazy about that? I started asking permission to use the chaplain because we had no pastor on the base during that time. There was no chaplain. And I asked permission to use the chaplain. They granted it. And now I was not just preaching to the people, my sailors that I was on training with. I was also preaching to the people that were training me.
Amazing.
Just because I said yes.
Yes.
I once heard, Richard Branson said, when somebody...
Yeah, now carry on.
Okay, so I just had a yes in my spirit from the Lord. And even though I was unqualified, He qualified me. While I was in training.
On all levels.
and also reestablishing discipline in my life because I was so ill-disciplined most of my life. Remember, I had a stigma over my life. Yeah. I had a stigma that I was labeled, that I was not going to make it, that I would either end up in prison or dead. One of the two. And in all honesty, it could have ended up that way. I remember when me and my brother got born again, the first time we went back to our school and we had an assembly and we told our story, and half of the school got born again that day. Drum magazine did an article on me and my brother's story because we were so infamous because of the way we were in our community.
So he used that infamous to use it for His glory.
Amen.
But we're going to take a music break now, and I really want to continue that because I love that story. And I want you to just get back to the golden nuggets that you've learned in everything. I think this is so encouraging for any mother or any father that has aspirations for their sons and daughters that look as though they're wayward. But God has got a purpose and a plan with each and every one of our children. Praise the Lord for that. But we're going to quickly listen to Brenton Brown, and he says, we will worship Him, and we'll join Alroy straight after this. Good afternoon, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. Please join us on Facebook. We are currently live, and I have a very special guest in the studio today. He's an author of three amazing books. I'm telling you now, I have been taking photographs, sending it to my children all over. I'll tell you now, he has got such wisdom and such knowledge at such a young age. And it's Pastor Alroy R. Cook, and he is with us today in the studio with us. But I want you to please go onto our WhatsApp if you would like to know anything more about our guests or interact with us. We are on 0817291657. Our Telegram number is exactly the same, 0817291657. You're welcome to SMS us as well, 37988, and normal rates apply for that. And then we have a Facebook page called 729 Cape Pulpit and Kaapse Kansel, and go and see who we are, and go and look at any of our presenters and our guests that you might have missed. Our posts stay up on for a while, so please go and comment and join and like us as well. And we have a counseling department on 021-9177-000, and you might as well just press option 1 if you need any help or any direction. But today I have an incredible guest today, and it's Alroy R. Cook, and he's written three books. But I want you to please share with us. You've had such an extraordinary testimony. Share with us quickly, what have you learned through the stages of success? I was so impressed about the process that we so often don't want to take, and the journey we don't want to take to great success.
Okay, I'll speak about what I call the triangle of increasing profits, but let me give you context on how I started writing books. So while I was on my basic military training in Saldanha, our officer commanding, Captain Pile, kept encouraging us to read books. Now, I didn't like reading books like a lot of people in school because I felt it so boring, and I felt that it was not valuable. But his encouragement during my military training intrigued me. And one Saturday afternoon, I decided to give reading books another shot. I'll tell you, the first book I read, it was a book that I received as a gift just before I left Johannesburg for Cape Town. The book was called Destined to Reign by Joseph Prince. And it took me almost a month to complete the book. I had to persevere. And strangely or not, after I completed reading my first book on my own, I decided to share what I learned from that book to my fellow sailors on training. And for some reason, Renette, they thought I was smart. And I was so surprised, and I thought, maybe if they think I'm smart now, maybe if I read more books, I'll be smarter. So
you had an agenda.
So I started getting more into reading books. Eventually, I had my own little library.
Mm.
And the more I read, the more I was surprised that reading was actually making me speak better. Reading was also making me think better. And that boring thing that was once boring for me, I started to enjoy. But then something happened during my training. Just before I joined and enlisted in the SA Navy, I was dating a girl. And before I left home, you know, we just had been dating probably for a few weeks. And we had agreed that this long distance relationship would work. But one evening while I was in our TV room, in the dormitory, I received a call from her. I answered the call. I went out of the dormitory. I answered the call enthusiastically,
mm-hmm.
With still the butterflies in my tummy.
Yes.
Unfortunately, she broke up with me over the call.
Mm.
I tried to persuade her that it would work, but she insisted, and sadly, her mind was already made up. The following morning, I was standing to attention, ready for inspection, next to our military bunk, my military bunk, but with a wounded heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so defeated, but I knew there was nothing for me to go back home to. I had to complete my training. And because I had fallen in love with reading, I decided to use this bad moment by turning it into something positive, using the pain of my heartbreak as fuel to write my first book.
Sure.
Now, I didn't know, I wasn't a good writer at school. I wasn't a good speller. I failed a grade, so my academics was very poor. So I had no qualification that said I could write a book. But all I had was the yes in my spirit from God.
If
other people could write books, maybe they were also somebody like me that was unqualified at one stage and had a desire to write a book. Because I realized whenever God gives you a desire for something, you have the potential for it. And God gave me the desire to write a book using the fuel of my breakup as something positive by writing my first book. I started telling people on training that I'm going to write my first book. Some people encouraged me. Some people laughed at me.
Yeah,
some people
imagine.
Tried to give me advice that never even wrote the book. So I started writing my book. And from my training, I left training. It took me 4 years to complete the writing of my first book. And once I had my manuscript, I was so excited. I sent it to a lot of publishing houses thinking, I'm going to get a publishing deal now. I'm going to be this big-time author. You know, I'm going to blow up. But all I got was rejection from all the publishing houses. But then I decided, you know what? Let me send other authors. Maybe they will help me. And I inbox them. And you know what? Have you ever felt the ice-cold sting of no response?
Sure.
And I thought that my dream of being a published author would never materialize. But then I had a light bulb moment. I realized that it's my dream. God gave it to me. Therefore, He also made it on me that it was my responsibility to fulfill it and just be faithful with the first step. So with a renewed hope, I emptied out the money I'd saved at the time, and I needed more money. And fortunately, my late mom believed enough in my dream
Sure.
And gave me the rest of the money I needed. So I self-published my first book. And my first book, after I completed it and I self-published it myself, it opened up doors of opportunity for me. I could do a book tour in Malawi just because
Can
I said
you believe?
Yes. Somebody saw me online and invited me on a book tour to Malawi. I was invited to a church to come and do a workshop on my book. And now my book was starting to open new doors of opportunities for me just because I decided to be faithful with the first step. But you know
but
what?
You also invested in yourself and you believed in yourself.
Yes, I invested in myself.
And you believed in what God planted in you.
Absolutely. But you know what, Renette? After I sold, because I thought I'm going to be the wealthy author, but after I sold about 400 copies of my book, sales stopped. And I wondered, why is this happening? So I decided, you know what? Let me just write my second book. So 2 years later, I wrote my second book and I did a book launch. And the same thing that happened with my first book happened with my second book. I encountered the exact same ceiling. I only sold about several hundred copies of my book. So I decided, you know what? Let me write my third book. And by the time I wrote my third book and I encountered the exact same ceiling where I was now writing books thinking I'm going to be this rich author, but I wasn't. I was a broke author. I thought, you know what? Maybe there's no money to be made in books. Maybe books is not just, it's not
for me. Relevant anymore.
Yeah, it's not relevant for me. People aren't reading books because clearly I'm not becoming wealthy with it. I thought that my dream would also make me wealthy because since I was a little child in the small back room, one of the desires that I had was not to be broke.
Mm.
But then I decided to give up writing books completely because I thought maybe it's not for me. So I tried experimenting in other businesses, but unfortunately, every other business I tried failed. And writing books was just something that spoke to me. So I decided, you know, with a renewed passion, why don't I help other people write their books with the experience that I have gained publishing my own books? Because I realized if you can do something for yourself, it empowers you with the same skill to help others do it for them.
Sure.
Because I have something that is called the triangle of increasing profits. Everybody wants to earn more, but in order to earn more, and there's four levels on the triangle of increasing profits. The first level is you are generalist, meaning you have general information. A generalist usually is an employed person. You're solving your boss's problem.
Mm.
So all of us start there. We are employed, and there's nothing wrong with being an employer. But that's the lowest level on the triangle of increasing profits. And all of us start there. I want to say to somebody to you, you are more than a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote my first book. And because I had now developed a skill in writing a book, I had new skill set that I could teach somebody else to do what I did for myself. So it took me to the next level of on the triangle of increasing profits, which means you have a skill. I want to tell you something. All of us have a skill that we've developed. And the higher you go on the triangle of increasing profit, the more you earn. On the generalist level, you usually earn between $0 to $10,000 or $100,000. But on the next level, on the skilled person, you earn between $100,000 to between million upwards. To $10 million when you are skilled at something. And my skill was I've written books for myself. So that was the fruit. Fruit is the proof that you can do something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let me just, people might not often like the vessel God uses, but here's the thing, you cannot deny the power of a testimony.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
So with writing books for myself, I knew I could now help others to write it. So I went from developing that skill to saying, you know what, if I'm skilled at something, although it doesn't pay me yet, maybe if I can empower others, and while empowering others, you develop in it. So then I decided to coach other people to write their books and even publishing their books, and then it made me the expert of it.
Sure.
Because if you are skilled in something, to become an expert, because the first level on the triangle of increasing profits in general is you solve your boss's problem. The second level, by being skilled, you solve your problem. The third level on the triangle of increasing profits, meaning you solve other people's problems. Now that makes you the expert. So I started now developing more by coaching other people to write books.
And that's where you are doing these workshops.
Yes, yes. And that's why I'm doing these workshops, which I have a workshop called the what do you call it, 5 days Author Secrets Challenge, where I basically take people through a 5 days intensive workshop online, where I coach them basically how to turn their dream of becoming a published author, make it a reality. But more than that, because I was a broke author, I wanted to know how to succeed in it. Mm-hmm. So I don't just show them how to write their books. I show them how to turn the book into a profitable coaching program.
That is absolutely marvelous. We are going to continue listening to Donnie Buerta again, and he says, I can run to you. And that's what we've just done in this session now.
Yes,
we ran to Jesus. And I'm just so impressed with your testimony. And you're going to share with us straight after this, we're going to share the golden nuggets that you've really experienced in this journey of success. Okay, guys, we're going to listen to Donnie Buerta, I Can Run to You. And that was Donnie Buerta, I Will Run to You. It was really exciting to listen to him. And at the end of the day, we're going to end up with a very interesting take on the nuggets that you've learned, Elroy, on this journey to success. And, you know, I really want you to share and encourage our listeners to that, just take that step. And even if you think you've got nothing to offer, I've had such amazing guests on my program where they've just come from nowhere and boom, they make some success and they make a decision on writing a book or writing poems or starting out on some form of passion. So just share what you've learned on this journey for us.
Well, one of the lessons that I've learned on this journey that sticks out for me is that I like the story of David, and I have one of my sermons titled The Salving van 'n Koning, The Anointing of a King, because David was not just anointed, but he was anointed to become king. And many of us, we have an anointing over our life, not just with oil, but we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit for great exploits. And often, you know, many of us think that we have to be at the perfect place, or we have to be the most qualified for all of the resources before we start something for God. But I want to say to you, if you're listening in this afternoon, that everyone that God used powerfully in the Bible was asked at an inconvenient time of their life to build something for him. Can
Amen.
I say that again?
You can say that again.
Everybody that God used powerfully was asked at an inconvenient time in their life to build something for him.
Yes.
You see, and even everybody that God used powerfully came to them in a crisis. It was the most inconvenient time, but they decided to build something. It was the most inconvenient time for Nehemiah to say, I'm going to build something for the Lord. But he said, I'm going to go build and restore a city. It was the most inconvenient time for Moses to build a ship, because when he built the ship, he had no previous collection of a ship. So it was an inconvenient time for him. It was an inconvenient time for David to be on a battlefield that he wasn't even supposed to be there. He had no military training, but he decided that I'm going to stand against this Goliath. I want to say to you today that if you are man and woman of God, if you are somebody, it may be an inconvenient time, but if you decide to do something for God, no matter how small or insignificant it might seem, he will raise you up to accomplish that thing. Because you see, all of us want to be great, but none of us want to start small. When I started writing my book, I did it poorly. When I started preaching for the first time, I preached poorly. And that's absolutely fine. You just keep on going. Even though people laugh at you, even though they look at you funny, because one day they're gonna look at you and that same person they disqualified is going to be ahead of them, because in the process of failing, God actually built you up to be excellent in that thing. You see, to be great, you always start at an inconvenient place and a small place.
Incredible testimony. Thank you so much. Now tell me, Elroy, your books are?
My books are available on Amazon, but you can also reach out to me on Facebook. Elroy R. Cook on Facebook, also Instagram, that's my handle. You can reach out to me. And also, I would like to give your listeners free access to one of my coaching programs. It is worth 20,000 Rand. It's called the 5 Days Author Secret Challenge. So if you have a desire to publish a book, to be a published author, you are most welcome to contact me and just say I'm in, inbox me with the words I'm in, and I will respond to you favorably, giving you access to my online program. It's going to be on Zoom, so just contact me with the words I'm in or I'm next. And okay, then you can start that. Or you, even if you've written books and you are not being successful in it, I'd like to show you how you can turn the same material into a high-paying coaching program.
Incredible. Thank you so much. And then just your book's names are, this one is incredible. That one is my favorite, people.
My first book's name is titled Because I'm Single. My second book is titled Vision the Pathway to Your Dream. And this is my third book, which is titled The Seven Components of Vision, The Proven Formula to Extraordinary Results. And then my fourth book on its way, it's called Author Secrets, The Ultimate Blueprint to Publishing and Profiting from Your Book. That is my autobiography and my fourth book coming out in probably the next few weeks.
You are so encouraging, honestly. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us this afternoon, and I hope you're going to definitely access that possibility of writing a book and say, I'm in or I'm next. And I can tell you now, get onto your last, even if it's the beginning, in the middle of something that you have not thought of, but you would love to do, don't leave it until one day. Do it right now. It might not be convenient, as Pastor Alroy has just mentioned, but we just pray great success for you, Alroy, really, because I think you're such an encouragement to new up-and-coming generations that really have no scope or hope, and this is another avenue of getting people back into their giftings and their skills and their desires. So we just pray great success for you.
Thank you so much.
Just touch many, many, many lives the way forward, and that your legacy carries on. And in encouragement to those that are listening right now. So family and friends, we are going to be having Gilmer coming in with the news shortly and our news team. But we just wish you a great, blessed week, and stick to the rules. And we'll see you same time next week. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.